Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Listen with Other. Because grown-ups need bedtime stories too. The Legend of the Merry Milkmaids by Giles Booth. Episode 1. Get Out of London. I think I found somewhere. Ian noticed that Kate wasn't really listening, so he said it again. I found somewhere. Somewhere to stay for your birthday. Kate's birthday fell on the 2nd of January and was always a problem. Everyone was too broke, too hungover, or both to want to do anything. The last time they'd had a party was 5 years ago. It was not a success. We can't afford it. Just a couple of nights we can. Nowhere special. Just a place in the country. Middle of nowhere. Middle of nowhere, exactly. Somerset. Airbnb. Last minute cancellation. Be nice to get away. Show me. Ian slid his laptop across the kitchen table to his wife. No TV, no Wi-Fi, poor phone signal. It's a selling point. Digital detox. We offer isolation and peace, it says. Is there a pub? I think there's one about a mile away. It even has a stone circle. One of the stones is actually in the garden. Where is it? Stanton Maltravers. Sounds like an Agatha Christie character. Well, it's marketed as perfect for a writing retreat. Maybe you could finish that novel. My writing aspirations died 5 years ago, murdered by your friend Dave, if you remember. Ian's friend Dave's behaviour was one of several things that had ruined her last birthday party. After a few glasses of wine, they got talking about New Year's resolutions. Kate had talked about finishing writing her book. Dave, who had had far too much to drink even before arriving, had told her her book was shit. The conversation had gone something like this. How about you, Kate? Someone had asked. If I have to have a resolution, then I'm going to finish writing my novel. Don't bother, said Dave. Excuse me, asked Kate. It's shit. How would you know? It's bound to be. There are too many books, too many novels. Ian chipped in. Do you know Jonathan Swift complained about there being too many books being published? So that was true in 1700. Kate gave him an angry look, which he didn't notice. You've not read it, said Kate. Don't need to. If it was any good, you'd have finished it and it would be published. You didn't, and it's not. More wine, anyone? Kate had not written a word since. She closed the laptop and passed it back to Ian. Well, you probably wouldn't have enough time for writing anyway, but I still think we should go, said Ian. Just the two of us, not a house party. It's a small house, but it sleeps three. Oh no. What? We're not inviting Margate Louise. We could. I'm not even in touch with her anymore. Don't say you haven't thought about it. No, I have not. You have. We've talked about it, about what nearly happened. Not seriously. You could ask her. I told you, I'm not in touch with her. Text her, on the off chance. You text her. I don't have her number, and that would be weird. Anything to do with her is weird. It'd be creepy if I asked her. She's your friend. Was my friend. Okay. We should still go, just the two of us. Get out of London. Birthday in the boondocks, or the Quantocks. Where even are the Quantocks? It'll be nice. Kate almost smiled. Okay. Margate Louise had been Kate's best, and Ian sometimes used to say her only friend. She was called Margate Louise to disambiguate her from another Louise who was a friend of Ian's. The other Louise had long since fallen by the wayside, but Margate Louise had kept her geographical prefix. They saw her infrequently, but when she arrived, often unannounced, once memorably 27 hours late for a dinner party, she brought chaos, tears, laughter and booze. Always booze. Her love life was famously disastrous and unrequited. She was always falling in love with married men, straight women, gay men, Catholic priests, gay Catholic priests. And then there'd been the birthday party 5 years ago. The drive to Somerset did not go well. They set off much later than Ian had planned, and the poor weather meant it was already going dark by 2 p.m. Everyone seemed to be going somewhere on New Year's Day. It took them over an hour to drive out of London, and by early evening they were still on the M4. It was dark and pouring with rain. "Can we listen to something else?" Kate asked. "Driver gets to choose. Anyway, I made this playlist specially." "Who's this? Alt J?" "Don't like it. Skip to the next track." Kate skipped through Portishead, Massive Attack, Placebo, Public Service Broadcasting, Heaven 17, St Etienne, Placebo and the Thompson Twins before settling on Funboy 3. When the song finished, she turned on the radio.
"And here in the studio with the New Year's weather news, here's Darren Bett. Darren."
"Just in time for the weather," said Kate.
"Not good news, I'm afraid. Showers are turning torrential as Storm Arthur sweeps across the country from the west, the first named storm of the new year. Already we have flood warnings in place for Devon and Cornwall."
Ian snapped the radio off. "Hey, you hate it when I do that. I think we get the gist." The rain got heavier. Even with the wipers on full speed, it was a struggle to see the road ahead. The traffic slowed right down, aside from the occasional maniac in the outside lane, followed by blue lights. The silence was eventually broken by Ian. "Shall we turn around and go home now, if you like?" "We're much more than halfway now, though," he retracted. "Why don't we turn off and try an A road instead? We just get lost. As long as we're moving, I'd rather stay on the motorway." The traffic came to a complete standstill. "Great. It'll actually be my birthday before we get there at this rate. Look for another route for the next junction." Kate's phone pinged an incoming text message. "Who's that?" Kate angled her phone away from Ian's view. "No one." He grabbed it. "Margate Louise. You did invite her after all. Look for yourself." The message read, "So good to hear from you. Sorry can't make it. Boat party in Bristol. Catch up in New Year, hun. XXX. He grinned at the thought of Kate relenting and inviting her old friend. "Do you think she sailed there from Margate? Wouldn't put it past her." They giggled. A smile remained on Ian's lips a fraction longer than necessary. "You're thinking about her, aren't you?" "I am not." "You're such a bad liar." "I don't fancy her. She's not my type. You know that." Indeed, Margate Louise was in every respect the opposite of Kate, being unpunctual, disorganised, tall and having long dark hair. But he was thinking about her and what did and did not happen 5 years ago.
"What was it you said again at the party?"
"Not that again, Kate.
When you made that Bloody Mary with too much Tabasco?"
"My lips are on fire."
"And what did Margate Louise reply?"
"I can help extinguish them if you like." They both laughed. "You and Dave made such tits of yourselves fawning over her." "Dave, maybe. Both of you, like adolescent schoolboys lusting after a French exchange student." "Look, she was being outrageously flirty, even by her standards."
"True. I actually don't think she'd had a shag all year." "Kate!"
"She did seem utterly desperate."
"To be hitting on me, you mean?"
"To be hitting on both of us." "Oh, look, the traffic's moving." They arrived at Stanton Maltravers at 11:30. The village pub was not only dark and closed, but boarded up. There was not a soul in sight. The pub sign was swinging madly in the wind, glistening with rainwater.
"The Merry Milkmaids," said Kate.
"Well, we won't be going there for a cosy pint of cider and a bowl of chips." "Odd pub sign. The figures are half human, half statues."
"Which way now?"
"Left." "You mean right," said Ian, pointing. Kate's inability to tell left from right meant he usually took the opposite turning to any she suggested.
"Yes, I mean no. No, it is left."
After driving for another 10 minutes or so, they arrived at the house. Maltravers Lodge was a small, detached Victorian house, very tall and thin, built from a mixture of red and yellow bricks. It looked out of place with its surroundings. There was even a small glazed turret in one corner that looked slightly ridiculous on such a small building. The rain had eased off enough to unload the car without getting drenched. There was a pint of milk on the doorstep, which Ian hadn't spotted and almost kicked over. The interior was elegantly and simply decorated. The walls painted in pastel shades, abstract art, and a few well-chosen ornaments scattered about. Ian put the milk in the fridge. "I'm starving. Can we cook quickly?" asked Kate. "Pasta, beans on toast. I'll pop the champagne in the freezer. It's so cold. How do you put the heating on?" "There's a folder here. Information for visitors." Ian found the thermostat and turned it up. He returned to the kitchen to find Kate rifling through the drawers. "I have excellent news. There's a visitor's book." "That's the evening's entertainment sorted then. Who needs Wi-Fi?" They shared a passion for mocking comments written in holiday home visitors' books. Ian took it and opened it. "Catriona and Miles enjoyed the horse riding as a welcome break for swatting for Cambridge. A real rural idyll, the Hoopers, Aylesbury." "Strong opener," said Kate, snatching the book back and flipping through its pages. "We enjoyed our stay, although the grill pan handle is loose and the soap holder in the shower needs replacing. Malcolm and Lucy, Addington." "Not bad. One more. The Perfect Escape. The Romance of the Stones entwined and embraced us all. Alice, John and Sarah." "Blimey. Let's take that to bed." "Just that. And the champagne after we've had supper." "Is there really not a TV here?" "No, there is a kitchen radio, though." "A wireless. Marvellous." Kate turned it on and fiddled with it. "No reception. Try FM instead of DAB. It's not a digital radio. Look, it's ancient. Medium wave? Long wave?" The chimes of Big Ben filled the kitchen. "The home service. Happy birthday, love." "Thank you." They kissed. "Any resolutions?" "Well, I do feel a new start may be in order. I'm so fed up with work. Publishing isn't what it was 10 years ago. "Not going to finish your book then?" "No. But I quite fancy selling other people's. Bookshops seem to be making a bit of a comeback. Maybe I'll find an empty shop somewhere and open one. Make it a bit different. Selling stuff that I know appeals to people like us." "Sounds good. How about you?" "Now you mention it, I'm getting cheesed off with my job as well. Too many project managers and not enough people actually doing the work. Maybe I'll join you in the bookshop or do a sideline selling beer and books. It's more likely than me finishing my novel." They kissed again and opened the champagne. The Legend of the Merry Milkmaids was written, read and mixed by Giles Booth. It's a GSB Radio Enterprises production.